Welcome to the Bring Your Book to Life Micro Audio Summit, curated especially for soul-led coaches, healers, and online entrepreneurs to write and promote your book in the most powerful way. In this summer, you'll hear from our speakers sharing their wisdom, each one around a different aspect of the book writing journey. Each interview is content rich and packed with tips which you can implement right away so you can bring your book into the world. I'm your host and creator of Bring Your Book to Life, Nicola Humber, founder of The Unbound Press, a publishing company dedicated to amplifying the voices of female authors writing transformational books. I am so excited to bring you these interviews. Let's dive in. So, a major stumbling block that can get in the way of you moving ahead in the most powerful way on your book writing journey is actually knowing what to write about. Maybe you have like an idea of what your book will be, but there isn't a huge amount of clarity yet. And in this conversation, you get to hear from me, your host of Bring Your Book to Life, Nicola Humber, as I'm in conversation with Unbound Press author and team member, Jo Gifford. Jo has a wealth of experience when it comes to book writing herself. And we are diving into how to conceive like the specific idea and ideas that want to come through in the book you are feeling called to write. So, you know, if you don't know me, I'll give you my own like bio. I am Nicola Humber, transformational author of 3 books, Heal Your Inner Good Girl, Unbound and Unbound Writing. I'm creator of the Unbound 365 journal, and also founder of the Unbound Press, a soul-led publishing company for magical women writing world-changing books. Yes, we believe that you can totally change the world one book at a time. And in this conversation, Jo and I dive into some different tools and practices that will support you in really tuning into, like I said, the specific ideas that are wanting to come through in your book. And a lot of what we're sharing is really turning any traditional book writing advice on its head, which is kind of what we're all about at the Unbound Press. So this, you know, we might be introducing you to some quite new ideas in this conversation. I hope that we are, and that it will inspire you to really be in a place of trust as you move forwards on your book writing journey. So, without any further ado, let's dive in and let's hear from Jo first of all.
Well, hey, Nicola Humber.
Hey, Jo Gifford.
I'm so excited to be speaking to you about bringing your book to life. What a juicy subject.
I know. I feel like it's one that we know a lot about as well, both of us.
We do. And we've both experienced this as authors and as team members and as colleagues and sisters on the Unbound Press. So this is a really exciting thing to delve into. So if we're thinking about conceiving the most powerful idea for the book that you're really here to write at this time, so do we need to know exactly what our books are about before we get started, Nick?
No, is the short answer.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have always thought, yes, like you do need to have some idea. It's only really through like my own experience and also now holding space for many, many, many other authors that I realize you can pretty much start with just that call to write a book and just know that there's a book there. And you may have like a very general sense of what it's about, and that's enough to get started with. It may be that it's very clear. I'm thinking of, you know, as I'm saying this, I'm thinking of Wild Currents, like one of your books, like, you know, that the idea for that and what it was going to be about was pretty clear, but then it evolved as you created it. But yeah, in my experience, rather than waiting for clarity, the most powerful way is to write for clarity. So you feel that call to write a book, you commit to it before you know like fully what it is. And that's really important to make that commitment and to say yes to your book and what it wants to be. And then you come to the page and see what wants to come through. And, you know, I did that for my very first book, Heal Your Inner Good Girl. And I remember the idea for writing a book had been bubbling for a while and I'd started and drifted away from it. And it's only when I made like a really solid commitment, it's like, no, I'm doing this. Like, this is the next kind of project that's happening. And I remember making that decision. I was down at a beach near where I live and it's like, no, this is it. And I didn't really know what the book would be. And it was a couple of days later, I was out for another walk and literally the title, Heal Your Inner Good Girl, dropped in. And I was like, oh, okay, that's it. And this is what happens, you know, rather than thinking, okay, I'm going to sit down and try and figure out what my book is about. Like, you can do that, but very often the most powerful ideas are the ones that are just going to, they're going to drop in when we're out for a walk or in the bath or in the shower or whatever it is, once we've made that really firm commitment to writing.
You're so right, Nick. I think there's something really sacred about that yes, isn't there? And we see it with the authors that we work with and support, and we see it certainly in the books that we've created. I know that for both of mine, there's been something really potent in signing that contract or in saying yes to you and knowing that the Unbound Press is going to be the place that they're birthed through. And that almost, well, not almost, it definitely does put in place a series of events. Once you've got that book held in a space of a sacred yes, and you come to the, you know, and you come to the page or come to the voice note or come to the scribbles or come to however you're showing up for your book. But it is that once you show up for the book, it will start showing up for you, won't it?
Completely. And I think it keeps a lot of people stuck, this idea that, oh, I have to be super clear about what I'm writing about. I need to have this plan and all of my chapters mapped out. And if I don't have that, then I can't get started. And this approach kind of turns that on its head and it's like, no, get started. And that will come. It might not come until way into your writing process. And that's okay, because it just creates space for your book to evolve. And you mentioned there about like showing up for your book and it will show up for you. And this is another element of it. Like, your book is this being, like this essence, this spirit. It has a life of its own. And you know, when we allow ourselves to kind of co-create with our books, like these ideas that want to come through us, that's when we get the most powerful results.
Oh, it really is. It's almost like we've got to take the hand that they're offering us, and quite reluctantly, like me sometimes.
Yeah.
I literally argued with my book for a long time because they do take you on a journey. And we've seen certainly with authors who might start a, you know, that co-creation process with a book, and the book takes them somewhere else that they completely rewrote something, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean that happens all the time, that books like shape shift into something completely different. It's definitely happening with my current book that I'm working on. It's like been through lots of different evolutions. And with my second book, Unbound, like, I had no idea what that would be. And I kept thinking, oh, it's this. And then it would change into something else. And, you know, at one point I thought, well, no, this is about five different books. This isn't one book. But actually it did come together. But I had to trust the process and I had to trust the spirit of Unbound, like the spirit of that book, and that it would take me where I needed to go. So I think it's really important to know, you know, we're not alone on this journey. Our books are with us, and sometimes they're like taking us through the process, kicking and screaming.
They do. And I think that also, once we have that sacred yes, whatever it looks like with the, you know, for us at, in our book writing journey, once we've made that energetic shift, the book will take us through that. And we also need to live that shift, don't we, as we're writing it?
Yes. Yeah, that's a really important point, because again, I think we can have this idea that, oh, I have to like be complete in some way with whatever we're writing about before I write about it. And actually, like, it can be, well, it is very often certainly the beginning of a new kind of level of the journey when we say yes to our books with whatever we're writing about. Like, stuff will start to show up in our experience, you know, in our client work, if we have clients, in our personal experience. We will start to very often experience challenges around whatever we're writing about. New perspectives, new ideas will drop in. So I think that's another really important point, is like, once you say yes to your book, like, be really curious about what's showing up in your life and your experience. And rather than, like, particularly if it's challenging, rather than that making that mean, oh, I shouldn't be writing it yet, I need to wait until I've got this sorted, it's like, no, like, this is showing up in your experience for the book. Like, the book is taking you on this journey, and this is all really important material for the book.
Oh, it is. And that's really potent, isn't it? Because, you know, once we have that journey and that co-creation with our books, it's soul work through the pages. And as we all know, soul work is not always, you know, sort of running through the fields and daisies and in the sunshine. It can be the shadow part of that as well, and we see that in the book writing journey. So I guess that leads us beautifully onto the next piece, which is, you know, how can we tune into our books and what they're asking of us?
Yeah Well, I think the key is to really see it as a relationship, and I love it. Like, I'm sure many other people listening to this have read Big Magic by Liz Gilbert and how she talks about ideas and how they're out there kind of floating around, waiting for someone to say yes to them. And if you don't, then they'll go off to somebody else, which actually terrified me when I was writing Hill, You're in a Good Girl. It's like, no, this is my idea, so I need to write it so it will go out into the world. But when we think about it like that, we can see our books and these ideas as something that we get to have a relationship with. And I actually recommend, you know, connecting with your book, like taking time whenever you come to the page, certainly at the beginning of your process, to like invite your book to connect with you. And you can do that in meditation, or like, I like to go out for a walk and just ask my book to come with me. And just like open up those channels of communication, because you can ask your book questions like, what do you want to be? Like, what do I need to write about today? What's the first step? Like, who do I need to connect with? And it will support you on the journey. So I was talking about this the other evening in a Unbound Writing Mastermind call, how, you know, you get to have this evolving relationship with your book, and it's there to support you as much as you're there to kind of help birth it into the world. And I think when we feel into it in that way, it can take us out of our heads and into our hearts. And we get to bring through ideas and insights that we wouldn't be able to access if we were just there trying to figure it all out.
Absolutely. And I love those suggestions. You know, we can connect through meditation, we can take our books on a walk in nature. I know certainly I've connected to mine through journals, or I've kind of said to my book, right, I'm going to be, you know, walking, and I can voice note, you know, ideas as they come through. I'm making space for them to come through. And I'm thinking about almost the other side of that, what I've also experienced recently when co-writing a book, you know, with Unbound, is the need to put boundaries in place for our books as well, because they will arrive. And, you know, this particular one was arriving at sort of 5:30 in the morning, going, right, well, I'm here and here's what you need to say. And I had to say, like, okay, that's great, but, you know, can you come a little bit later when I've had my coffee and I can catch you, because it's quite early. And so there's almost like this dance, isn't there, between allowing them in, creating boundaries for them, showing up for them, and getting to know each other a bit. It sounds nuts, but it's true.
I know. Some people, maybe some people listening to this go, what? And, you know, it's, if this approach like calls to you, if it's speaking to you, amazing. And like, I've got nothing against the more I don't know, kind of like linear logical approach of, you know, mapping it out. It's all good. But yeah, like I know that every book has a different energy. Like you just spoke, they've got a personality of their own. And, you know, that one was obviously a bossy book. And
it really was. Yeah.
It's like any other relationship. Like you do need to have boundaries and get to know each other. And each book, and I found this with each one of my books that I've written, and like authors at the Unbound Press, like you, Joe, who've written more than one book. Like each one is so unique. It's not the same process every time. So it's kind of giving yourself space to get to know your book and what it wants you to bring through, which as we've been speaking about, can be unexpected at times.
It can be. And I think, although, as we just said, you know, it can sound completely out there, really, it's just like any creative project, isn't it? If we were creating a play or a piece of theatre or working on some, you know, some paintings, there is that waiting for the muse, you know, is a term that we're all used to. And that's all it is. And the muse in this case is our book. And we do have that creative spark that we're tuning into, and those ideas come to us for a reason, because we are the people to bring them through at that point in time. And it's an adventure and a really fascinating, joyous, expansive one, and really potent. And so, and it'll be individual for each of us, right?
Completely. And that's really important as well, because sometimes I think we can have an idea and we can almost rule it out, because it's like, oh well, no, because like so-and-so has already written about that, or there's loads of books out there about that, so I'm not sure it is unique enough. And like you said it there, our books choose us and they choose to come through us, and it's our experience, our perspective, like our unique energy that will make it different from any other book that's out there. It's the combination of our book's energy with us. So I think it's really important to know that there aren't really any new ideas out there, like not to have an expectation that you're going to come up with something completely unique, because that's not going to happen. It's you that makes your book unique, like allowing it to come through. Yeah, definitely. And yeah, go on. What's your experience of that, Jo?
You're so true. And actually, that's going to lead me on to my next piece, which was about market research, because we're saying there about it's us that makes our book unique. It's our energy. It's the way that we're creating. It's the way that we're dancing in this co-creative energy with that book. So the flip side of that, the people that we're going to be hopefully sharing this work with, who are taking on the journey as readers, what's your perspective, Nick, on kind of having that ideal market research in your head? You know, if we think about the very traditional models of book writing, you know, we need to think about the audience and need to have it all kind of mapped out. So where do you stand on that?
I'm kind of mixed around there. I don't think it's something that you need to do right at the beginning of the process, unless you feel called to. But it's not something that I would necessarily sit down and do as the first thing when a book calls to me. And I wouldn't recommend that any of the Unbound writers that I work with do that necessarily. There's something about trusting the call and getting into process and having a sense of what the book wants to become, and writing about like being quite selfish in a way, certainly at the beginning of the process, and writing about what lights you up, what you feel passionate about, rather than immediately going into this place of like, yeah, but who is it for and what will they want from me? Which you can start kind of feeling into later on in your process. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's really important that like whatever you're writing about is what you feel called to, and you're not just kind of outsourcing all of your decision making around your book. I mean, to be honest, your book is very likely to be for somebody who is like you, or you kind of a year ago or a few years ago. And I do feel that as you're writing, you want to have a sense of that you're connecting with a particular person, like with one person, like you're writing to one person. So it can be powerful to have a sense of who that is. But in terms of like doing a lot of market research at the beginning, I feel it can be confusing because you're going to have so many different points of view and just going with like the idea that like most people say they want is like, no.
Yes. Yeah. That's so true. And it could be quite uncomfortable, can't it? Kind of turning that approach on its head if it's what we're used to seeing, it's what we're thinking about in business, if it's how we're used to presenting offers. But actually anyone who's drawn to your work and our work at the Unbound Press, that will make sense because it is that sacred leap, really, isn't it? In stepping into that creative process. And we find quite often, you know, myself and you know, I know you've done this and plenty of our authors, when we start sharing the work as we're writing it, we're calling people in.
Yeah.
So that actually, you know, when your book is ready for the world, and that's just when her second life really begins, isn't it? And starts meandering out there. People are already well aware of it and are kind of connected to its energy and that ripples out. But I completely agree, kind of starting from a place of planning and kind of avatar feeling can be, yeah, quite messy when you're connecting to the energy of the book and just trying to get into that space of allowing and expression and feeling into where this journey will go.
Yeah.
And what kind of practices do you love, Nick, when it comes to really connecting to, you know, what to write about? How do you tune into that in your practice?
I mean, the main one for me is literally showing up at the page. It's not very often when I come to the page for my book. So having some kind of dedicated place for your book, whether that's a notebook or like a document on your laptop, whatever it is, or in your notes app, and like coming to that regularly. I mean, another aspect of the Unbound writing approach is that there's a cyclical nature. So you don't want to be too rigid around that, but certainly showing up for your book in this dedicated place and just asking the question, like, what wants to come through? What wants to be expressed today? What do you want me to know? And you might have an idea, like on a particular day, of what you want to write about. But if you don't, like literally, I will write that question at the top of the page and see what wants to come. And I'm always amazed at how quickly, like something will, and it might not make complete sense or any sense initially, but in terms of what you think you're going to be writing about for your book, but just like being in that place of receptivity and allowing what wants to come, like showing up, asking the question, that's the most powerful practice for me. And really creating the conditions to conceive your book. So what I mean by that is showing up, like having some kind of dedicated practice, but also like the environment you're working in, like allow that to be one that feels good for you. Like I just really could not write my book sitting at a desk. That would not work for me. So I will very often kind of get into bed with my notebook or like on the sofa or go for a walk initially and maybe make a voice note and then come back and do some writing. So it's like, what is going to help you to be in that place of like openness and receptivity?
And that can also involve some experimentation, right? So you might think, okay, today I'm going to play with, you know, writing outside, or, you know, for me, it was doing voice notes or taking my notebook to the river because mine was all about water, my second book, or playing around with, just not being in one place. Or trying somewhere new and kind of, you know, experimenting with what works for you, which I think you talk about in Unbound Writing as well, don't you?
Completely. Because like I know you know this, Jo, from your experience with your first book, Brilliance in Unbox, where you have this expectation of how you're gonna write it. Like you were gonna have like acres of time and that didn't happen. And very often it's like that, you know, we expect our writing process to look one way and then life happens and it's not. So anything we can do to support ourselves and be in that place of creativity. And like for me, one of the best ones is to like take myself out of my like normal, certainly working environment. And that kind of helps, always helps. Like pretty much as soon as I walk outside the door, if I go for a walk, I can be feeling completely blocked, start walking and moving, and ideas will start to flow. So it's kind of mixing up those ideas and expectations of how we should write our books.
I love that. And also just to mention there's a practice which I know you love as well, which is the morning pages by the that concept by the wonderful Julia Cameron from The Artist's Way, which I know, you know, we both sort of tap into, is just to have that morning practice of sitting there with your first coffee of the day and just writing whatever's coming through, whether it's just I don't know what to write, and you write that over and over again. Something will always turn up, and it's often really surprising what will show up on those pages. So again, it does feel like there's so much around just playing with what works for each of us.
Exactly. It's unique to everyone. I've just come back to my morning pages this year and I'm loving it. And you know, that is space for me personally. So it's not necessarily connected to my book. But what I find is very often, like ideas just like I'll write a line, I'll be like, oh my goodness, that is so for the book, you know. So that's gonna, I'm gonna take that over there to explore it some more. And this is something I hear from writers sometimes when they're creating in this way. It's like, oh, but you know, sometimes this feels like it's my own personal journal, you know, this is just for me. And we have to trust that if something feels really personal, that yes, obviously it means something to you, but it will mean something to your readers as well. Like that's where the juice is. That's where the magic is.
And do you find, I was thinking about times when I get into like the flow of either writing the morning pages or coming to the page to write, you know, my book or to write a piece or something. I always find that something after the first sort of 10 minutes, I'm in a zone, and that's when the most surprising things arrive.
Yeah.
And I feel like once we're in that deep work state, in that flow state, that's when we're accessing something that is, that really is beyond us. That is our kind of creative muse connection, our higher selves, whatever we want to call it, that connection to inspiration. So I guess, you know, one of the tools that I want to suggest is finding that deep work state and whatever that looks like for you. You know, for me, it's often some binaural beats in my headphones, a strong coffee, you know, a candle on the go.
Yeah.
And the more you kind of play with that and see how you can find that creative space, the more you can allow those words of utter magic to come through, can't you?
Yeah. And but that's the thing. It doesn't always feel like utter magic, does it?
It doesn't. No, that's true. No, that's really true.
And you know, that's a really good point you just made, that kind of 10 minute in kind of place where I feel like it can go either way sometimes. And what I notice is I'll start writing and it will feel okay, and then all of a sudden it's like the energy's going out of it, I'm getting a bit lost, and it's like, actually this is not what I really want or meant to be writing about. And what I recommend there is actually, you know, just to name that on the page. So if I notice that happening, like I'm just going into the shoulds and the expectations, I'll just say, look, this is not my true voice coming through here. You know, what do I really want to say? You know, what really wants to come through? And I'll actually write that on the page because it kind of catches myself, that interrupts that pattern. And very often, well, pretty much always, that's the point where I really get into whatever is wanting to come through.
And also that reminds me, Nick, you know, it makes me think of like going to have a run, right? And there's some runs where you just know, like, right, I'm into this. This is just not a good run day. I just need to call it and go home and rest or whatever. And there's some where you can really get into it. And there's actually so much power sometimes in starting, not connecting and going, okay, it's not the time. So one of the tools, you know, could actually be just embracing the void, embracing the downtime, embracing the rest.
Definitely. Not trying to push through that. And it's one of the things, like I say often, people probably get tired of me saying it, but there's always, like, the book writing process is not just about writing, you know, and the space is just as important as the actual, like, showing up at the page. So it's really honouring those times when it's like, actually, I just need to be, or I just need to live my book for a while, because there is always so much going on under the surface. And if you can like allow and honor those spaces, those pauses, the void, then that's only going to help you to access, you know, exactly what you're meant to be writing about.
And so for anyone who's used to thinking about, you know, planning their book out, having it all in their diary, you know, something that feels almost to the extreme end of linear, what do you want to say to those people?
I mean, I know this can sound like a really different way to approach it, and it can feel like scary, to be honest, and really vulnerable, because it's like, well, what if nothing comes? Like, believe me, something will come. You're feeling the call. But the really important thing is to trust, like trust yourself, trust your book, trust your process, and like to cultivate that sense of trust. I feel it can be so powerful to have some kind of like community around the writer. I mean, even if that's one other person, when I was writing my first book, I had like a book accountability buddy, like a woman, she was writing her first book as well. And we would just hop on Skype like once a week to check in. And, you know, just having one other person or a circle of writers around you can help for those moments when it's like, I don't know where I'm going with this, or, you know, whether it is all going to come together, because you'll have someone who's going through something similar. And it can be so powerful actually to have people who've been through the process before to actually go, no, it's fine. You know, stick with it, trust, it will come together, because they've experienced that too. I find that can be really helpful.
Nick, that's one of the most powerful things that, you know, I've certainly experienced with you and with our Unbound community. But I know certainly when I've checked in with you with my books and just kind of said, it doesn't feel like I'm doing anything. And I show you where I'm at and you go, well, no. And you're able to, you know, reflect back as someone who's not only been through the process, but has held space for so many authors to go through that. It's incredibly powerful to have that reflection back, isn't it, in community or in mentorship or in circle. It really is amazing to be witnessed in whatever you're working through or writing through.
Completely. I think so often we underestimate like how far ahead, you know, how far we are into our process or how clear we are. So often, like I'll speak to a writer and they'll be like, oh, well, I'm not really sure. Like, it's not very clear. Or they'll share a piece of their writing and it's like, oh, well, this is like very much a work in process. It's not very good. And it's absolutely amazing. It's like, what are you talking about? That's just stunning. So, you know, I feel so many of us have a tendency to like diminish where we're at and to underestimate ourselves. So having someone or some people there who can reflect back to you, like where you are in your process and like how much magic you're creating, is so important.
It really, really is. So, Nick, what's the free resource that we can access to help bring our book to life?
Yes, well, it's my Connecting with Your Book visualization. So we spoke about kind of starting and cultivating that relationship with your book. So this is a really powerful, I call it a visualization, but I mean, I'm not especially visual. So it's a meditation that will take you into connection with the book that's wanting to come through you. Whether you see that visually, some people do, some people see like a really clear like image of the front cover of their book, or you have more of a felt sense of your book, which is what I experience. And it's a great way to create that initial connection and then use throughout your book writing process to build that relationship.
That's such a powerful tool. And I know I've certainly used it with you a couple of times and had different senses of it, and actually seen the book of somebody else's book, which is coming out this year, visually saw that one.
No, that's the thing. Like, we're very...
I could do it for someone else.
We connect with all the books at the Unbound Press. It's like we know how each one has definitely got their own personality.
Oh, they do. Well, Nick, this has been amazing to hear from you how to bring the book to life, and I hope that anyone listening has found this super supportive. Look forward to seeing what comes through for you all.
Thank you so much, Jo. Thank you. Oh my goddess, what an inspiring conversation. Like, so much goodness to take away from that. Please make sure that you visit the Bring Your Book to Life speaker page to find out more, and a little bonus piece of homework for you. I would love it if you could hop on over to Instagram and share what your biggest insight takeaway is from that interview, like what you're feeling inspired, what action you're feeling inspired to take after listening. You can find me at Nicola Humber. Please do share a post or a story, tag me in and tag our speaker in using the hashtag Bring Your Book to Life, and let us know what you are taking away from that interview. Join the conversation. Here is to bringing your book to life. I'm really excited to see what comes through in your writing and how your book evolves throughout the rest of this year. Thank you so much for listening.